This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. In about 2 years, if a public-private effort works, you won't recognize Eastland Mall. A redevelopment plan could transform the area some say has been forgotten into a cultural and retail center and help revitalize Eastland. That sound familiar to you? Those phrases weren't in the redevelopment plan presented to City Council last week. Instead, that was how the Charlotte Observer described a plan pitched to the city 15 years ago. Hopes were riding high on that 2003 proposal. The Observer wrote that city leaders and the mall stakeholders viewed it as a catalyst for economic development and could be the social core of the East Side. But the hoopla gave way to disappointment, a cycle that would repeat itself. In 2010, just a few months after the mall closed its doors, the mall property was bought by a developer who wanted to reopen Eastland as an Hispanic-themed market. Here's the developer, Andrew Siegel, talking to WFAE that summer.
We think that it's in the middle of a very vibrant neighborhood. It's a neighborhood that has changed a great deal over the years. It's an exciting place.
Problem was, no one else was as excited, and a year later, Siegel sold the Eastland site to the city. And the mall was eventually demolished to give potential redevelopers a clean slate. Here's then-Mayor Patsy Kinsey on Charlotte Talks in September 2013.
I just have to caution again that whatever is done at Eastland, it will take a long time to build it out. But now's the time to get started if we possibly can.
Some ideas were floated for the site, including a ski slope. Ultimately, the city thought it was a winning idea, or it found a winning idea, in a film studio.
It will be actually one of the largest studio complexes outside of Los Angeles.
But like others before him, Bert Hess, the man behind the Hollywood East vision, threw in the towel too.
At some point, you just have to cut your losses and say, you know, we tried, this didn't work out.
And it was back to the drawing board, where the city has been for the last 3 years. Now, a new slate of proposals is in front of the city council. Will history repeat itself? Should East Side residents get their hopes up? Here's what longtime East Side resident Carolyn Millen told Spectrum News about the renewed focus on Eastland.
We've been promised so much. We've finally taken the rose-colored glasses off, and we're saying we want to see action, we want to see results, and we want to see positive results.
So we spend the hour talking about the future of the Eastland Mall site, these new proposals, and the importance to Charlotte's East Side of not just doing something, but doing the right thing. Matt Newton represents that part of town, District 5, on Charlotte City Council. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
It is so wonderful being here. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Mary Newsom is Director of Urban Policy Issues at UNC Charlotte's Urban Institute. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Eli Portillo, weren't you just here? He's been covering all of this as a business and development reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Welcome back to you, too.
Deja vu. Thanks for having
me. Deja vu, indeed. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can do that. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. You can also watch us on Facebook Live. Mary, you and I have been here talking about this issue. I can't remember how many times, but it's been a lot. The last time you were on talking about this was in 2016, at which time city staff had put together a request of qualifications from consultants to draw up a new master plan for the site. Whatever happened to that?
They hired a consultant group. I believe they paid about $500,000, but maybe Councilmember Newton can correct me on that. They paid money. I think the consultant group kind of said do it in phases. And for whatever reasons, and I hope that Matt can tell us why, they decided not to do it in phases. And I just want to say that Eli's deja vu applies to this whole conversation, in addition to his frequent appearances here. I mean, I think I may be, Mike, you and I may be the only people in the room that, I remember skating at the ice rink at Eastland Mall.
Yeah.
Did you, Matt?
Yeah.
So
Matt's new to council, but do you know why, whether they proceeded on this consultant's plan?
I think this is a whole can of worms that just got opened up here. So in as much as the consultant plan is concerned, that was the Jacobs group that came out of Dallas that had met with prospective developers, city officials, and I think had formulated some methodology for the development of the site. I think so. And as much as that methodology is concerned, the idea there was to build in some residential development at the site to increase population density, increase AMI, and attract commercial
AMI
development. That is the area median income.
Okay.
Yeah, and to attract commercial development, premised upon the proposition that there was a lack of commercial interest or a lack of commercial developer interest. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, what I'm so encouraged by are the proposals that we heard this past week, because I think we know now, after this past Monday, so a week ago, that there is substantial and significant developer interest in the site.
Okay.
And I'm very excited about the possibilities moving forward. The site itself is full of potential, and I can't wait to see that realized.
Have we heard this before?
Absolutely. Okay, over and over.
Just checking. So we went through a short history of Eastland Mall and what's happened to that property at the very beginning of the program, Mary. But to take us back, because you just referenced ice skating. Why did the mall? It was a three-level mall with all the anchor stores, all of the most popular stores, small stores at the time that it was open in there. It had, I think, was one of the first food courts in a mall. It had movie theaters. It was, when I moved to Charlotte, that was the place to go. It wasn't South Park.
Well,
when
I moved to Charlotte, I lived halfway between Eastland and South Park, yeah. And I went to both of them. I kind of preferred South Park. But I love the ice skating rink. I went to the movies at Eastland. Mm-hmm. What happened is what happened to enclosed regional shopping malls all over America. Eastland was not the first to go, not the last to go, but that type of development began to be less popular. The demographics around the Eastland Mall area changed.
Is that what happened? Is that the leading factor, that the demographics and the makeup of the area changed?
That's part of it. I'm going to be a little bit blunt here and say there were fewer and fewer people who were white were shopping there. And a lot of the white patrons decided that meant they shouldn't go there anymore.
Does that mean, though, Matt, that the neighborhood is not stable, or just that the character of the neighborhood changed?
Well, you know, I'm an optimist, and I'm of the opinion that we do have the most diverse district in all of Charlotte area, mm-hmm. in all of Charlotte, over on the east side. I'm of the opinion that doesn't set It sets us apart in a positive way. At the same time, it shouldn't set us back. And so from the standpoint of the development at the site and maybe putting, history behind us, I think moving forward, all of us collectively in East Charlotte, regardless, of demographic, we all want the same thing, which is the same extent of amenities. Recreational, entertainment, opportunities, as well as jobs, as you would find in any other area of town.
So let me go back and finish what I was saying,
okay,
because it wasn't just the racial element, the racial angle. What happened was that as the demographics of the area changed and the median incomes began to be not as high as in other areas, the retailers stopped stocking a lot of goods there. I talked to people that lived there. And they would go to Belk to buy, sheets for the bed, and they wouldn't have any. And they would go in to buy, T-shirts or socks, and the stores would not have them because the stores began disinvesting in the area. Hmm. So you had a double or a triple whammy of some people avoiding it because they didn't like seeing brown skin, some people trying to go there and they couldn't get what they wanted, and disinvestment generally.
Eli.
I think you also have to tie it into what's happened to retail generally. Some of the weaker retailers and weaker shopping centers have fallen off pretty quickly, and Eastland was sort of at the leading edge of that in Charlotte. The anchor stores that were looking around and saying, we have, say, 7 Sears locations in the greater Charlotte area with increasing online shopping, fewer people going to the stores in person, we've got to take out the weakest one. And in several cases, that was Eastland Mall, and those anchors kind of fell one after another. Sears, Dillard's, Belk, I believe. And right. Once the anchors were all empty, the mall at that point effectively was done.
You have said you live in District 5. You represent District 5, Matt. I think you believe that what happens to that piece of property out there is critical, because you have said that it's the biggest issue facing District 5. The biggest issue? Why?
Absolutely.
Just a piece of property.
Well, it is the driver for our economic growth. And I think if you look at the statistics, you will see that we are lagging far behind other areas.
But if you don't put another shopping center or retail center out there, and we'll get into some of these proposals, all of which I believe contain some retail, but it's not another shopping mall. If you don't have that, how is it the economic driver?
I think, and so from the standpoint of, you know, the Jacobs Consulting Group, I think their contention would be you attract it. Right, through higher density and AMI. I think at the same time, and once we do get into the proposals, I think we can talk more specifically about the type of development that is possible now.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of retail, recreational, entertainment development, you know, those things that I think we're all hoping for in East Charlotte that are possible right now on the front end moving forward.
Well, Eli, you've been reporting on this for years, and we've talked about how various entities have come to City Council and made proposals, and the city hope for a quick sale once they bought the property themselves, and none of that has come to fruition. Last week, council met with the Economic Development Committee, met with, I think, four different developers with four different proposals. Why now? What brought this on now?
Well, after the consultant's report that we've referenced a few times, the impetus was there to do something because the consultant basically told City Council, there's not a lot of commercial interest here, but you might have some interest from residential developers. So that was kind of the immediate jumping off point for going out and saying once again to the development community, okay, bring us some ideas. But I think in a bigger sense, going all the way back more than 15 years, as you referenced, Eastland is kind of this open scab on the east side of Charlotte right now.
Big empty lot.
It's a huge empty lot. 69 acres are still left there. CMS is building a school on part of the site, a small part. But when you drive by it, whether you know the history or not, it's very conspicuous that it's this enormous lot. And it's even more conspicuous because so many other parts of the city are booming. So the longer it sits there while cranes go up seemingly everywhere else in Charlotte, I think the more of an open wound it looks like.
I have no idea what 69 acres looks like. I know what Eastland Mall looks like, but I guess you know what it looks like. But I mean, how does it compare to the size of, say, South Park or Carolina Place? Is that about the size of the lot that it sits on?
I would say so. Now, I think it's also important to note that it is bracketed by two additional privately owned lots that are all but leveled in their own right. So the entirety of the site, even outside of the 11-acre school, is more along the lines of about 80 acres. Across the street, there's another leveled area that is also available somewhere in the ballpark of privately owned, available somewhere in the ballpark of 10 to 15 acres. If Eastland is developed right, then we're talking about revitalization of the entire area because the rest, right, the rest of the puzzle pieces will fall into place. I would push back slightly against the idea that the only options on the table are residentially based. I think what we heard last week was one that was two, actually that were strongly entertainment, recreation. Amateur sports, I think, was one based. And so there are a couple of concepts here that don't lead with residential, lead with more of an economic driver for revitalization. So I wanted to point that out.
Matt Newton is on the City Council. He represents District 5, which is the east side, which is where Eastland Mall's lot is. Mary Newsom is here from the UNC Charlotte's Urban Institute and Eli Portillo from the Charlotte Observer. We will get into these four proposals that council heard last week when we come back. Stay with us. It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHEI. Mike Collins, we're talking about what happens next to Eastland Mall and the four proposals that Charlotte City Council's Economic Development Committee heard last Monday, I believe it was, about from four developers about what to do. Matt Newton is here from District 5 on City Council. Mary Newsom, Director of Urban Policy at the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute. Eli Portillo, Business and Development Reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Eli, you mentioned that there is a school on the site. That was a decision that they made after the city bought the property. Is that going to be an impediment to future development, or is that going to be seen as a plus because it's another amenity?
I think that school opens in August, I believe, and some residents nearby, when that was being proposed, weren't encouraged about it. Mm-hmm. They said that they wanted to see it developed with commercial space or residential space, not institutional space. They thought that it would be not necessarily an impediment, but more of a neutral, not really a positive. There's not a ton of private developer interest necessarily in developing around a new CMS school just because a CMS school is there. So I think that folks maybe wanted to see something more exciting mm-hmm. come first.
I've heard some people say that the plans that were put forth last week were not terribly specific, as many plans usually are. And you're saying, yes, they weren't terribly specific, Mary. Is that right?
Yeah, I looked at all four of the proposals. I couldn't make it to the meeting, but I did look at all of the presentations that were online and that are also posted at plancharlotte.org, and if anybody wants to look them up. They seem to not have been vetted yet.
Meaning,
there was a lot of proposals. We'll have this nonprofit group. We'll have that nonprofit group. Many of them very worthy nonprofit groups. But nonprofit groups come and go. And if you're going to build a building, it seems to me you need to worry about how are you going to finance the building, how's it all going to be designed, rather than just pitching a lot of feel-good mm-hmm. nonprofit things.
But despite your feeling that there was a lack of specificity, Matt, you say this is the first time since Studio Charlotte, that was the movie studio project suggested by Bert Hess, that we have heard specificity in the proposals, and that is significant. So there's a disagreement here about specificity.
I think it depends on the proposal you're talking about.
Okay.
And I think, the bidders, which is what we're calling them, the investor developers, they only had 20 minutes to present, and were actually instructed to not get into the specifics of financials. And so I think, you know, it was limited information provided to us and the general public this past Monday. But I do think it signals that we are further ahead than we've been since Studio Charlotte.
I asked Eli a second ago, why now? Why these four proposals came forward last Monday? Was there an RFP put out for them, or did they just come forward and you put them on the same meeting?
I think it's important that we backpedal slightly and we talk about where we are in the process. Mm-hmm. So the plan was for our Economic Development Department to make a recommendation to our Economic Development Committee, so the City Council Economic Development Committee, this past Monday. I was of the opinion, because I know the frustrations that are felt in my district in East Charlotte pertaining to community input, engagement, and contribution. And so I thought it was very important that before any recommendation be proposed, in the limited fashion that it would have been proposed, by the way, that we have an opportunity to know what they all were. And at the same time, have an opportunity for the community, the folks who will be either benefiting from the development there, or most certainly will be the folks that are most impacted by the development, would have an opportunity to weigh in. And so that's why we heard these proposals on this past Monday, and I'm so happy we did, because I do think that we have different options. So we have a range of options on the table.
But are there others out there? Could this spur other people to come forward who maybe have been thinking about this, so they can get their bid in or their proposal in before council makes a decision, if you make a decision?
I think that may well be the hope, but it's been how many years? And if the city thinks that a private developer is going to do this, why haven't they already done it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been wondering why the city keeps thinking they can just unload 69 acres or previously 80 acres to anybody when nobody thinks they can develop it and make a profit. It seems to me the city ought to be looking seriously at what can we, the city, do.
Well, Michael emails, other developments are occurring in many challenged areas of the city, including East Charlotte. Hold on, they've just put something up on my screen. Okay. Many, including developers and neighborhood groups, have said a main issue with development of the site has more to do with politics than economics. Why not sell the site and let market forces decide what goes at the site? I'm looking at you, Matt.
Well, I think what we've heard from the developers that are on the table right now, you know, this is market-driven. right? Each of those folks, they are interested, you know, to develop there, to not just, you know, hopefully help the community, but also make a profit. This might open the door for other developers to come in, make bids. Once again, that is an open market system. Having said that, I think they better do it quick, because we're probably a little further along, and we can talk about the process moving forward, a little further along than what folks might realize, particularly if someone's going to make a bid on that property.
Eli?
I think regarding why the city has wanted to do it all in one go, first of all, that kind of gets back at what you were saying about 69 acres, how big is that, or 80 acres if you take the undeveloped sites around the sides. If you think about the Waverly development in South Charlotte at Providence Road and 485, it's this huge site that's been developed with hundreds of townhouses and apartments, a new Whole Foods, dozens of shops. That's roughly the same acreage we're talking about here. So that scale of development and that kind of one-shot development by a single master group is kind of what the city's been going for this whole
time.
Does
that solve a lot of problems quickly?
It does, because it can happen with one vision, you know, kind of all the pieces go at one time. But I think a key difference is that Waverly development, which is kind of pointed to as an example a lot of times, that was, you know, basically a private transaction, no major public-private partnership, no major negotiations with the city. And when you bring in the city, the county, local government entities to do these, they take a lot longer. For example, you've got the Brooklyn Village plan in Uptown, a big plan to redevelop about 20 acres, build 1,000 residences, and that's been going on for about, you know, roughly 3 years now, and that's still in the negotiation phase with the master developer. So these things can look really great on paper, but public-private partnerships tend to take a long time to negotiate and execute.
And let me just note that the Waverly development is probably in the most affluent income shed in Charlotte.
Yes,
and Eastland Mall is not. And if you think you're going to attract, number one, if you get financing for development, no one's going to finance mom and pop local retail. They don't do it. They have no track record. That's why you get chains. And chains don't typically give a rip about will this revitalize any neighborhood. They look at the numbers, and the numbers at Eastland Mall are not what a national chain store is going to want to look at.
Right. Waverly's anchored by a Whole Foods, and Whole Foods would not be attracted to those numbers.
Was there a theme running through these four proposals on Monday night, Mary?
Well, the theme that I read was they're desperately desperately trying to win political favor. Excuse me. They're all sort of mega developments, except for the multiplex / metroplex. It has two names. I think it's a multiplex, which says we'll develop a part of the site. But even their proposal, they are all this idea that if you just build one big splashy project, that will somehow enliven the whole vast area of East Charlotte. And I just don't think that's realistic. That doesn't happen. The history of big projects like that in other cities is they don't succeed in revitalizing a neighborhood.
But you've got the River District coming online. They're going to start building that. Is that the hope? I mean, that's out in no man's land. There's nothing there at all, nothing. Is this a different kind of thing because it is surrounded by stuff?
Well, I feel like if we keep splitting hairs, we're not going to have any development at the site. And I think we've really touched on this. Eli had mentioned a moment ago, we're talking about, and I wouldn't characterize it this way, and I want to make sure that everybody realizes Eli was speaking in the utmost respect. But he had mentioned the SCAP of Charlotte, you know. And if we don't, if we don't take an opportunity and maybe take a risk at some point, we'll never know. And I think if there's a viable risk, as well as one that is going to develop the type of amenities that we lack in East Charlotte, and provide those amenities for our current residents as well as for future residents, then we need to jump on that boat.
And let me just say, the River District, the Crescent has owned that land for 100 years.
Okay.
Whoever buys Eastland, they're going to have to pay for Eastland, and that's going to alter their ability to develop anything.
Gotcha. Were all these proposals from local people?
No. As far as I know, I believe three of them are, okay, and one is more of a mix.
What role, if any, does the previous series of proposals that came to nothing play in people coming forward in the future, these four proposals that were submitted on Monday, and their possible success? Does the fact that we have batted away some things deter people from coming up with new ideas?
Well, one of the proposals is actually from Donna Reed and her group, who are associated with Bert Hess and the Studio Charlotte movies. But the other ones are, the other three are different. They're from different developers. And I think the optimistic take from the city's perspective would be, you know, maybe by holding on to the site and batting away some of the previous plans, we've dodged a bullet of some developments that would have been unsuccessful, possibly the inside ski slope development. You know, if that was built and didn't work out, it would be this white whale laughing stock for years and years.
Yeah.
So you might say, well, okay, we batted away some, you know, weird ideas, and now we can focus on these good ones. That would be the optimistic take.
And
the pessimistic take would be the opposite. We've waited too long.
The pessimistic take would be, what's the definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing over and over. You keep offering it up and getting proposals, and you don't like them.
And if you want to see an indoor ski slope, just go and take a trip up to the Newark Airport. They have one near there, and
really,
it's not doing well, and it's very odd looking. It's very, very odd.
I kind of thought that would be fun.
Anyway, all developers want concessions from the city and or the county. So in this current crop of proposals, are they all asking for concessions? And if so, what kind of concessions? What kind of concessions might the city be willing to offer?
It's my understanding that each developer, to some extent or another, is asking for concessions. We, of course, don't know to what extent they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they didn't get into the numbers at your request.
No. And they were requested not to.
Right.
Moving forward, so I think this is a perfect segue into talking about where we go from here. So moving forward, those conversations are going to begin, and we're going to get a better understanding. The city council will get a better understanding of what ask there will be and what initial upfront capital each proposal is willing to bring to the table as well.
Because because the city owns this land, and you can refresh. I don't remember how the city or why the city bought it and who they bought it from.
Bought it from the failing mall company.
Okay. Did we get it at a discount?
Depends on your definition of discount. The mall was in horrible shape. It was falling in.
We bought it to get it off the lot?
We bought it to demolish it and sell it again.
Okay.
Is the plan. And then how do you sell it?
So if somebody buys that land, all or part of it, is the city going to offer it at a bargain basement price to get it off its books?
That could be one of the incentives, amongst others, provided to whomever the bidder we select is.
Okay. Well, let's talk about these four proposals. There are four development groups with four proposals, and we'll go through them in no particular order. But let's start with the proposal from the Legacy Family Group, which is led by Kimberly Edmonds of Charlotte. Do they have other projects in the area that they have developed in the past? Anybody know?
It was a little bit hard to tell from the paperwork.
Yeah, I don't believe so, Mike. I think this is a group. Now, Kimberly is a local resident. This is a group that has assembled out of the Atlanta region. And we can talk maybe a little more specifics pertaining to the proposal, but broadly speaking, it's a proposal to place a cultural center at the site in phase one, surround the cultural center with residential infill, and then work towards a second phase that would include retail.
Yes, I've tried to read through their proposal. It's got a lot of nice graphics in it, but it's very hard to understand what they're exactly proposing here. They emphasize workforce and creative class magnets. What does that mean? Nobody knows.
I think that means the cultural amenities. They've talked about putting an arts theater on the site.
What does that mean? What is an arts theater?
A theater that would be available for people to perform arts in, is my understanding. But I don't.
So
have
it would
a
be
lot
a live theater, not
there.
An art house movie theater.
Right, not a movie theater.
Okay, a live theater.
Right.
And let me just say, there's a lot of nonprofit cultural venues in the city now that are not fiscally robust. And the idea
that would be that, all of them,
right? And the idea about. That you can just pop another one into Eastland, and but this one will succeed because it's at Eastland.
We have a lot of facilities. We just don't have a lot of arts groups that are getting a lot of help financially, which is where they need.
We are a bit off the beaten path. Over
Eastland Mall?
Over on our side of town, we want to have a destination amenity that attracts people in. I think the concept. And the proposition here is that this cultural center will serve as that destination amenity. It's up for it's up for debate whether or not that would actually be the case.
Well, who would run the cultural center? I mean, somebody's going to need to own it and run it. I'm pretty sure most developers don't hold on to what they develop. They develop it and then they sell it to an REIT or real estate investment trust.
So they're proposing a variety. This particular proposal, the Legacy Family Group's proposal, is proposing a variety of residential projects in a different in addition to the art house and the cultural center. Would they be workforce or affordable housing? Would they be apartments? Would they be townhomes, single family? What would they be?
They've talked about a range of about 800 residences that includes single family houses, loft apartments, age-restricted senior apartments for older residents, 55 plus. So kind of a broad range of housing. I think they've probably got, at least in their amount of detail, the broadest range of possible housing types.
Well, I haven't heard you say anything about workforce or affordable housing. They're interchangeable terms, I suppose. Was that specifically mentioned in that proposal?
Well, when we talk about workforce, so just to be clear about this, AMI, area median income, workforce housing is traditionally thought of 60% AMI and above. Below that, we're talking more specifically diverse price point housing. If the idea is to, consistent with the Jacobs report, the idea is to increase population density, to raise AMI, to attract commercial. And what I think is interesting in this proposal is the second phase is the phase that's going to attract commercial. I don't know if immediate infill of diverse price point in particular is going to get us there.
Okay. We'll talk some more about the Legacy Family Group's proposal, and we'll move on to some other the other three proposals as well. When we come back with Eli Portillo from the Charlotte Observer, Mary Newsom from the Urban Institute at UNC Charlotte, and Matt Newton, who represents the East Side, District 5, on Charlotte City Council. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about what happens next to the Eastland Mall site. There were four proposals put forth in front of Charlotte City Council's Economic Development Committee. Matt Newton is here from the City Council, District 5, Mary Newsom from UNC Charlotte's Urban Institute, and Eli Portillo from the Charlotte Observer. We were talking about the first of four proposals here, Legacy Family Group, and they include, and we've talked a little bit about this already, their 50,000 square foot YMCA. An arts theater, a skating facility. Mary, you'll get to go back and skate.
All right.
That would be built in three phases, opening in 2021, 2023, and in 25. Did they explain why those elements make sense as an economic development project that would, as many hope, lift the East Side?
I think it's a mix of both drawing new people at higher median incomes to some of this new housing and the idea that some of these arts and cultural institutes would basically give people a reason to go there again, drawing in a broader array of people. The hope with these kind of signature facilities is that you'll get big events, generate a lot of buzz, and really kind of maybe rebrand the area from some of the negative connotations of the failing.
So would any of these proposals, including this one, be attractive to residents who already are there and would be the built-in audience without importing people from other parts of town?
I would add to Eli's point, too, that I believe the intention is to have a center that provides opportunities for increased social capital and upward mobility through educational opportunities. Now, having said that, I think the cultural center is intriguing. I definitely think that the family center in the four families proposal is also very intriguing. We're talking about a movie theater in that respect. Granted, that particular proposal would only be subject to 10 to 15 acres of the site, so it wouldn't build out the entirety of the site. But I'll also say this. So the proposal pertaining to FC Barcelona, which I think it's important to note, we're talking about the fourth largest sports franchise in the entire world. It's bigger than any NBA franchise. It's only rivaled by the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL and the New York Yankees in Major League Baseball. That's super intriguing because of not just that particular training facility that's being discussed, that the bidders are talking about placing there, but about what's going to go in alongside it in phase
one. Okay, well, you've jumped ahead. So let's jump ahead to the Eastland Community Development proposal, which is it involves Odell Architects, which is a famous name in Charlotte, the Fallon Company, and Atrium Health. Theirs is a commercially oriented proposal focusing on sports, health, and wellness, and it includes, as you said, a soccer facility, the FC Barcelona Soccer Academy. What is that? Is that just a training ground for young people, for kids, or is it for Olympic athletes or professional soccer players to get better at their craft? What is that?
Well, two things here. I think, first of all, it's important to note that it's my understanding this would be the national and quite frankly, regional headquarters for this sports franchise.
So this would be like the Whitewater Center is for kayaking, U.S. Kayak.
Isn't there already a soccer academy somewhere down in Southwest Charlotte?
Yeah, so there is a small-scale soccer academy that's affiliated with FC Barcelona. This would elevate that on a national stage, if not larger, bringing potential professional soccer players into the site, and then also fielding local soccer.
So what happens to the other side?
I believe that site would then merge into this one.
No, I mean, what happens to the actual place?
The answers.
Goes dark.
I don't know.
Just goes dark somewhere else.
Yes, the second point that I was alluding to is it's also my understanding that this would double. So from the standpoint of a destination amenity, this would double as a amateur sports facility too. That would attract events, so large scale, sports tournaments from across the country. The developer in phase one has discussed and talked about including a hotel on site too for all of these types of activities.
Well, let's talk about the sports thing for just one more second, and then we'll have to move on because we're running out of time. It looks like, it's hard to tell from the drawings, but it looks like there are two soccer fields. Is that right?
That is, so the rendering, and what I do appreciate is the fact that we have a drawn-out rendering, right? So this is a bidder that has gone maybe a step further than some of the others. I think it's also important to note, and what you would see in that rendering is you would see a community center being involved. That's something that I've heard across the board in my area is a need of ours. It would also include retail, restaurants, business incubators, of course, medical facilities, specifically sports medicine, but medicine at large. You had mentioned Mike Atrium. Mm-hmm. So it's my understanding that Atrium is involved, and then also some green space. So you can see, and this is all from what I understand to be phase one. This would be immediately built out on site and what would amount to roughly a $600 million investment in the area. To put that in perspective, Studio Charlotte would have been $150 million. This is four times that.
Okay. So they're talking about 1,000 millennial-style residences and a millennial brand hotel. What does that mean?
I think that probably means apartments similar to what we've seen around other parts of the city with amenities targeting younger renters. And for the hotel, you think of new lifestyle brands, hotels.
Ritz Jr.
Yeah, there you go. Anything with a beer garden and a pet spa, us millennials will go for that.
I don't think they've drawn in a brewery here on their drawing.
No. But there actually
be
is.
Is there on this
there
one?
Actually is, yeah.
Great.
The last pages of
So what is Atrium's part of this? I know that in the proposal they allude to health and wellness. I'm trying to find it very quickly here. Sports medicine and community health care. Does that mean they're going to set up a clinic there on site for sports medicine because the soccer fields are going to be there? Is that what that means?
That is my understanding.
So
yes.
You twist your knee and then walk across the street.
That's right. Then 500,000 square feet of office space, a multicultural market called Taste of Eastland, retail, a community center, and then, of course, the residential and the hotel. It's a true live, work, mostly play, and visit enterprise, right? Because they want people coming in. All right, well, attractive. All right, now, the Greater Charlotte Multiplex 4, the number 4, families. backed by, as you said, Donna Lee Reed, not the Donna Reed from television, who is a 23-year Eastland area resident. She's a business coach and a pastor, and she wants to create a 10 to 15 acre project catering to the arts, after school care, and entertainment venues like arcades and movies and amphitheater and rooftop dining. Does she have any monetary backing?
From what I understand, and I don't have all the, because we haven't delved into the financial specifics of each proposal. From what I understand, we're talking about somewhere in the ballpark of 15 to 20 million, and that there would be, much like all of the proposals, so let's be clear about this, all the proposals, there will be some ask of the city and resources. But I don't know any specifics beyond that, Mike.
Okay. As you think about the district that you represent, Matt, and that part of the district, does this fit your idea of a project that would benefit the area and be used by residents there and uplift the area? Would this add to the value, either home value or just the patina of living near that location?
I would answer that by saying that it would add to the quality of life. As I was mentioning a moment ago, one of the biggest frustrations we experience in East Charlotte is we don't have the extent of amenities. And in that respect, the benefits provided by those amenities, things like jobs that you would find in other areas of Charlotte. And I do think, so from the standpoint of this being a movie theater, a family-oriented center for different recreational activities that, would attract the family, I think that this would be something that would definitely be utilized and at the same time very welcome, because I would hope that it would serve as a destination for folks outside of town as well.
But she only wants to use 10 or 15 acres, at least 54 acres.
Yeah, it was unclear to me what happens to the rest. And let me just say, mm-hmm. as somebody who lives near the Parkwood Shopping Center and near the Manor Theater, theaters are closing. Movie theaters are closing.
Oh, but they're going to put that theater back at Park Road.
Yeah, whatever.
We're going to be pleased with.
And
what
I'm
they
just
do.
Wondering, we're is told. There a way that you could order whoever owns this to, hey, keep that movie theater open?
Well, I was going to ask you this. I mean, seriously, one of the keys of this is arcades and movies, mm-hmm. and it's geared toward young people. In a world where kids play games on their phones and their Game Boys and Xboxes, and where they watch movies on their phones, do we need movie theaters? Do we need, when you got a 70-inch television, do you need a movie theater?
Well, I love movie theaters, but they do create a problem when they go bad. I mean, not go bad, when they go dark.
Yes.
You got a giant building that can't really be used for a lot of other things. So, and which is one of my questions about all of these proposals, is they're all premised on some giant building that will presumably be successful. But if it isn't, you're left with another dark big box.
But if you're going to build arcades, do kids go to arcades? Do they care? They've got it in their hand. They got it in their pocket.
I would say this, and I'm a big fan of movie theaters myself. Having said that, in the process moving forward, we're talking about a sale of the property, and then we're also talking about potential rezoning. That's that would be in our wheelhouse as city council members. Upon that sale of the property, we could have deed restrictions requiring the property be used in a certain fashion. I would think that the folks on my side of town would say we should at least try. To pass up a potential opportunity, granted the downside here is we're only talking, 10 to 15 acres. That's the major downside of this mm-hmm. proposal. But to pass up on an opportunity to at least try to provide the amenities we don't have on our side of town. And we have to drive, right, come further out of pocket to go and visit.
Where do y'all go to the movies?
Yeah, you see, that's a good question because we don't have a local movie theater. For many of us, the closest one is actually out of county in Starlight.
Okay, so wait a minute. I don't want to run out of time here. So this proposal also includes an amphitheater. It includes the multiplex movie theater. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember. It's a little foggy in my head. But I believe it also has an education component to it with regard to filmmaking, and she was associated with Bert Hess's proposal several years ago, Eli. So what's the difference between, aside from the fact that Bert wanted to put several great big Hollywood-style sound stages, but he also wanted to teach filmmaking and editing and in that environment. What's the difference?
Well, this, as you said, wouldn't have those great big sound stages. According to Donna Reed, it would also include recording studios and smaller video production capacity, which would be geared to young people, helping them get educated and know how to learn how to do this stuff. I think the biggest issues with this one, aside from taking a smaller part of the site, is that a lot of it's focused around community, things that don't generate a ton of revenue. And it could be tough to see a business path moving forward to keep all these in business viable and vibrant.
So the person spearheading this particular proposal, Donna Reed, has lived in the district for 23 years, Matt. One would think that she would have a real feeling for the area. I mean that sincerely. And what that area needs. And she says that her proposal brings, quote, so much of what East Charlotte needs and what we deserve. Is she on target?
I would agree with her. I think that these types of amenities within her proposal, limited in scope, but these types of amenities are the things that we have been asking for years. Having said that, I think the downside here is we're not talking about development or full-fledged development of the site.
All right, so let's go to residential developer Jim Gross, who is partnering on another proposal with Crossland Southeast. Gross, of course, is most famous for the Arlington, the pink building in Southend, but he's done other projects as well, including a new one on the corner of Queens and Queens, Providence and Providence, and he is partnering up with Crossland, who did Birkdale Village in Huntersville, and they have experience with developing dead mall sites, and this is certainly one.
What dead mall site have they developed?
I have no idea. I'm just telling you what they said.
They redid and are in the process of redeveloping, actually, a project called Bellevue Place outside of Nashville, which is an enclosed mall that shut down. And I think that's sort of their ace in the hole is they can point to this and say, look what we're doing
here. Is it open?
It is in the process of redevelopment. I believe they just started construction on some apartments there, actually teaming up with another Charlotte company, Crescent.
Right. So we have 2 minutes left. What are they proposing?
They are proposing a residentially fueled development. They had probably the least specifics in terms of numbers, but Jim Gross said that they're very focused on for-sale housing targeting millennials. They think that for-sale housing is going to power this, and they want to build a lot of housing, and they want to build ownership.
Are we talking townhomes, condominiums? What are we talking about here?
Townhomes would be a major component of it, and I think along with that, they're hoping to eventually draw retailers.
So all of these proposals, including this one, bring residential into the equation. And this one is pointed at residential millennial buyers. Do you worry that this will begin a cascade of gentrification in the area?
Well, I feel like with this particular proposal, what we're talking about is...
And do you want that?
Predominantly... Oh, no. I mean, I think we need to uplift everyone within the district. Having said that, I think with this particular proposal, we're talking about predominantly, if not exclusively, residential development. And we already have some of the highest population density in all of Charlotte on our side of town. And at the same time, we have overburdened infrastructure as well as overburdened schools. I don't know, particularly given the extent and you know, the vision of some of the other proposals, if this is the right one, particularly, and so let me also say, this is an economic development committee, and it's in economic development for a reason.
So you mentioned overburdened infrastructure. This is going to require infrastructure. Can we do that? Any of these proposals?
I think so. The question is, what will the ask be from the developers?
Okay. And James Mitchell, who chairs the Economic Development Committee, said, if we have not made a decision on this by June, I would say the residents of District 5 need to look at the committee members and not vote for us.
Whoa!
Do you agree with that?
I think, I hope we do get there by June. I think that's ambitious, but I feel like we can get there soon.
Matt Newton, District 5 City Council, Mary Newsom from UNC Charlotte's Urban Institute, and Eli Portillo from the Charlotte Observer. Watch and wait.